Okay, I'll start. I'll read. Well, since there's only a few, I'll only read one at a time, I guess. Give everybody a chance that has microphones. I know the kiddies and WTPR doesn't, but I don't know about the rest. So, and if people come in later, this will probably nudge them to come earlier from now on. Because we got to start on time. There has to be a time, you know? So, anyway, number one, through Christ, what has been opened to the house of David? Oh, and by the way, for those listening on the radio and in future, it's Bible Readings for the Home, the 1914 edition, section 4, which is called Life, Parables, and Miracles of Christ, and it's chapter 41, Our Helper and Friend. And question 1 says, through Christ, what has been opened to the house of David? And Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1 says, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness. That doesn't sound good. But I'll let whoever's going next to go next.
Number 2. Who has bore our sins and stands ready to help us? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Isaiah 63, verse 1, the last part.
Number 3. For what purpose did Christ come to this world? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was Luke 19:10.
Actually, that should say it barely registers on the radio. I'm sorry. Typing too fast again. Not reading what I'm putting down. Thanks, David. All right, number 4, I take it. Through what was Christ made a complete and perfect Savior? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, which proves, of course, there's another verification, him being creator, which amazes me with some of that strange doctrine that's going around saying that he was at one time non-existent. Well, if that's the case, how can he be the creator of all that is seen and unseen if at one time he wasn't here? Doesn't make any sense. Because it says he created all things. And so if he created all things, who created him? You know? I mean, think about that. If he created all things, someone had to be here in advance of him to get him here. You know, it's not even a paradox. It's just common sense. But anyway, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings.
Number 5, because of this, what is Christ able to do? And this is verse 18 of Hebrews 2. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Again, that's Hebrews 2:18.
Thank you. Saw that bubble pop, didn't you? I always get reminded of that one song I heard one time. I think it was in Walmart. And every now and then you flip through the channels on the radio and you hear it and you just got to get off the song real quick because it's very annoying and I don't want that song stuck in my head where that one girl sings, if God was a slob like one of us, you know, and then she goes on to say all the things that she goes through in life, I guess, and how, you know, if God would have come down here and walked a mile in our shoes kind of a thing, then she would have a better time with it. But it's obvious people don't read their Bibles because he did come down here. And, like Brother David just read, that he was tempted like we are. He suffered like we do. You know, he went through everything that we go through, even more so because he dealt with all of it. We only deal with bits and pieces of our own lives, but he dealt with all of it, every aspect. I'd like to read that for the radio. Lift him up. Page 110, paragraph 3 says, the soul cannot be satisfied with forms, maxims, and traditions. The cry of the soul must be, give me the bread of life. Lift up a full cup to my parched spiritual nature, that I may be revived and refreshed. But do not intrude and interpose yourself between me and my Redeemer. Let me see him as my helper, as the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Thou, O Lord, must be my helper. Thou wast wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, and with thy stripes I am healed. And that's so true. You know, it's not like the other toss of the coin where let us be called by thy name. In other words, let us have our own bread, our own... Where's that verse? Hold on. You know, that one verse where... let us... Let me see if I could find this real quick. Okay, here it is. Isaiah chapter 4. Verse 1 says, and in that day, seven women will take hold of one man. We know what women mean in prophecy, saying, we will eat our own bread. Of course, you know, read your own scriptures, you know, the bread of life or the word of God or whatever. They'll read their own Bibles. In other words, they'll read what they want to read. They'll take what they want to take. Whatever's convenient, they'll grab. Whatever isn't convenient, they'll ignore. We'll eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. And, of course, your apparel is your walk. In other words, we're going to walk whatever way we want. But it says, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. And that's the way you see the Christian church today. They go out there and they do whatever they want. That's why you got 3,000 different denominations. Go out there and do whatever they want, and then they can still call themselves Christians to take away their reproach. But yet that doesn't work out that way. In other words, someone has stepped in between them and their Redeemer, totally, and ruined it for them. And they don't even know it. They're the ones that are going to say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus is going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. That's so sad.
I guess we're on number 6. How complete a Savior is he? Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Amen to that. Number 7, for what is he able to keep us? And this is Jude 24 and 25. And of course, Jude has no chapters, just one chapter. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And that is Jude 24 and 25. And he is able to keep us from falling, and that's encouraging. Amen?
Amen. Yeah, it brings you back to that verse that Library Girl just read in 7:25. You ever read it in layman's terms, like in just regular, everyday, kind of like your own personal notes kind of a thing? It's kind of like saying, consequently, he is able for all time to, and this is out of the RSV, by the way. This is kind of one of those Bibles that Ellen White would use. I guess it puts it in today's language kind of a thing, because she uses the RSV a lot in her writings for some reason. Hey, Clive and Kim. Says, consequently, he is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. It's such a, it's so neat the way it, that's what he lives for. You know, like some of us live for this and some of us live for that. And the Lord Jesus just lives to make intercession for us, to do all he can for us, to help us get home. And during the whole time, with all the long-suffering involved, he's also winking at all our stupidities. I guess I'm next. Number 9 is... what kind of friend is he? Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, that repeats, by the way. That's not only in Proverbs 18. I think that's in other areas of Proverbs. That's something about Proverbs. It has a tendency to repeat itself. And then somebody read, somebody go with their, okay, there you go, Library Girl. And then I got some stuff that Bonnie put in there with Ellen White, something here.
Okay, we skipped over number 8, so I'll read 8. What does he call those who accept him? Henceforth, I call you not servants. I have called you friends. And that was John 15:15.
Oh, did I miss 8? I'm 2, sorry. Anybody want to do 10?
Number 10. What is the mark of a true friend? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17:17.
I like Proverbs. You know, that's where I started out way back when I was a Catholic, you know. I started reading Proverbs because it was just so, you know, clear. It would just answer a lot of questions because it covers so much in so little space. Even, you know, and it seems to go off topic a lot of times too, per paragraph. But it answers so much, it doesn't really cause a problem. But born of adversity, you know, that word. Okay, I have a misunderstanding sometimes of that word adversity. But anyway, let me, go ahead there, library girl.
Okay, I have a popular request here to do a poem. This poem is by Francis H. Rowley. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross on Calvary. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Days of darkness still come over me. Sorrow's paths I often tread, but the Savior still is with me. By his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Oh, those are the kind of poems I like, when they rhyme like that and they have a flow. I mean, it's just like a song. You could just sit there and just listen to that. It sounded really nice. Thank you, sister. That was nice. Right, let me read this from Lift Him Up. Do I start at the top here? Okay. Lift Him Up. Choose Him as our trusted friend. I guess that's the title. It says this: henceforth, I call you not servants, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. John 15:15. Wickedness prevails at the present day. The perils of the last days thicken around us, and because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. This need not be if all would come to Jesus and in confiding faith trust in him. His meekness and lowliness, cherished in the heart, will bring peace and rest and give moral power to every soul. The shortness of time is frequently urged as an incentive for seeking righteousness and making Christ our friend. This should not be the great motive with us, for it savors of selfishness. Is it necessary that the terrors of the day of God should be held before us, that we may be compelled to right action through fear? It ought not be so. Jesus is attractive. He is full of love, mercy, and compassion. He proposes to be our friend, to walk with us through all the rough pathways of life. You know, I have a hard time sometimes focusing in that area because of the research I do, and I see so many things happening and realizing how close to the end we really are. And so that kind of has a tendency to like float in front of me sometimes, you know, and I got to always remember that my focus should be on Christ rather than all this stuff and these turmoil that's happening, you know, even though I'm doing it to try to warn loved ones in that, you know, both close to the home as well as far from the home, you know, online and offline kind of a thing. And so, but the thing is, Jesus is attractive. He's the one that we should cling to. And when we get to that point, no matter how scary it gets, if we have that close of a walk with Jesus, it won't matter. None of that stuff will, you know, bother us. It'll roll off our back. I continue when she says, he says to us, I am the Lord thy God. Walk with me. There you have it again. I am the Lord thy God. You know, yet they're all saying that Jesus Christ is not God. Well, not all of them are saying that. There is this SDA faction out there that's saying that. But going on, he says, he says to us, I am the Lord thy God. Walk with me, and I will fill thy path with light. Jesus, the majesty of heaven, proposes to elevate to companionship with himself those who come to him with their burdens, their weaknesses, and their cares. He will count them as his children and finally give them an inheritance of more value than the empires of kings, a crown of glory richer than any richer than has ever decked the brow of the most exalted earthly monarch, and of course that being Solomon, because he was the richest man that ever lived, which means his riches, of course, wouldn't even pale in comparison to the riches of heaven. And again, that's not the reason we want heaven. You know, I mean, seriously, if gold is the pavement, why would riches be something that would attract us? Jesus is attractive, of course. Amen, as she says. Going on, it says, it is our duty to love Jesus as our Redeemer. He has a right to command our love, but he invites us to give him our heart. Give him our heart. He calls us to walk with him in the path of humble, truthful obedience. His invitation to us is a call to a pure, holy, and happy life, a life of peace and rest, of liberty and love, and to a rich inheritance in the future, immortal life. Which will we choose, liberty in Christ or bondage and tyranny in the services or the service of Satan? If we choose to live with Christ through the ceaseless ages of eternity, why not choose him now as our most loved and trusted friend, our best and wisest counselor? Amen and amen. He's good. I like that one. It fits well with what we were doing tonight. Thank you, Bonnie. Amen. I'll echo that. And there's another one there. Hold on. While toiling in battle as a faithful soldier of Christ, he has the sympathy of the whole loyal universe. The ministering angels are round about him to aid in the conflict so that he may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, the Lord is my strength and my shield. I shall not be overcome. By grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And that's what's so difficult for the world to realize, because everything is paid for, nothing is free. And they always think, you know, it can't be that easy, and so they don't even try. But yes, the most beautiful things in life are free. I mean, how much does it cost you to look at a beautiful scenery? Nothing. You know, or love. Love is free. And it's the most amazing thing in the world. You know? Well, we had perfect timing tonight. I got to make that phone call in about 3 minutes. Yeah, true love, when you have true love. Amen to that. That really makes a big difference. You know, there's all these weird loves out there. I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, I could fall in love in 12 seconds, man. You know, it's just that quick, fall in love. You know, it's just not realizing all it was infatuation, lust, or whatever the please the flesh kind of a thing. So the world has a funny idea as to what love is, and it's sad how some people go out looking for, like the song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's, you know, and they don't even look back. And even though hindsight is 20/20, sometimes they refuse to look back and realize, look, it's your own fault why you have a marriage the way you do. You know, and the reason I bring that up is because I'm constantly being approached by women or even men who are in a relationship with someone they married that they're having a hard time with, an extremely hard time with. I said, well, where did you meet your spouse? Well, I met him at a bar, you know. Or he was married at the time, and, you know, in other words, for example, a girl meets a guy in a bar, and then they get married years later, and then now she can't figure out why the guy likes to drink a lot, and it causes turmoil in the household. Well, you met him in a bar. You know, you went shopping for what you went shopping for. It's just like with the guy, you know, with the one girl says, you know, I can't deal with this. My husband keeps on cheating on me. Every time I turn around, he's cheating on me. Well, how did you meet him? Well, I guess I was his first mistress. You know, you get what you pay for, I guess, you know, kind of a thing. But that, again, hindsight is 20/20, and so you can't really blame them once they come to Christ. Of course, they have to deal with it, and then a lot of prayer has to come into play. And sometimes the relationship is blessed with both spouses coming to Christ. And then yet sometimes it just never comes to that, you know. So that's why another reason why marriage is looked on so lightly today, especially when you look at Hollywood with all of them getting married at the drop of a hat just for the sake of somehow they feel it relieves the guilt of having the, you know, the marital act, if you will, as long as they have that wedding ring, even though the wedding ring in itself is not advisable, it being a pagan symbol and all. you know, and it's actually a couple of pagan symbols. It symbolizes Baal, and it also symbolizes the sexual act. You know, the ring, of course, being the female, and the finger, of course, being the male. But I don't know. It's just a strange planet we dwell upon. Praise the Lord, we're only visiting this planet for now. 1,000 years later, after Jesus gets back, it'll be home in the center of the universe, as it already has been proven to be. It's a little off kilter right now because of that one planet got obliterated during the times of Peleg. When the gravitational pull was changed, this planet swelled a little bit and knocked that one planet out of whack that we now call an asteroid belt. So the planet's just a tad off kilter, but it is the center of the universe, according to modern-day scientific research. I got to get. I hate to get, but I got to get. Yeah, Bible, basic instruction before leaving Earth. I like that. B-I-B-L-E. It's good to be here. I'd stay, but I have that phone call. This one young Christian has been a lot of questions and wants me to call, but it's hard to get a hold of this person, and I just found out he'll be there right now, and so I'm going to call. Hopefully I'm not on the phone for 12 weeks, but hey, if I am, I am. It's part of the job. So good night, God bless. See you all Tuesday. And it's today's Sunday, right? Yep, all day. So good night and God bless. We'll talk to you soon. Amen. I definitely will. I love talking about Christ on the phone. That's where I more or less, that's how the ministry more or less started. It was on the phone and on the street. That's mostly what it was. Passing out tracts, talking to people on the street, and then, of course, later on, some people would call, and I'd be on the phone forever. So it's fun. We'll talk to you later. God bless.